The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board in the local Toronto GTA area, dial 905-725-1907. In North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now directly to Pastor Ward. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord. So great to see and be with all of you. I can't see you, but I know you can hear me tonight. So great to be with you, man. What a wonderful Sunday. So glad you've tuned in tonight. You have tuned in to the Spirit of Faith radio broadcast. This is a live call-in. You can call in. You can email us. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You can just let us know that you're listening. You can call in with your prayer requests. You can call in with your Bible questions. Man, God is so good. You know, that song blesses me every time. My wife and I were praying about what song to use as the intro song and the theme song for the Spirit of Faith radio broadcast. And I had this song and that song and another song. Oh, yeah, that's it and that's it. And my wife, man, I tell you, if you're married, you are a blessed man. And if you are a woman who is married, you are a blessed woman. But I am so blessed to be married to the most wonderful woman. As a matter of fact, so great to be back in the studio, Gary. We did the broadcast last Sunday remotely. And man, it's so nice to be in this beautiful studio. This coming Tuesday, September 3rd, my wife and I are celebrating our 14th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations!
And I'll tell you what, I'd marry that woman in a heartbeat tomorrow, tonight, anytime. She is amazing. And, you know, you're for the men out there, and this will encourage the women as well, that God has made sure that a man of God has help. And the reality is a man of God needs help. And so, you know, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet, Old King James word, M-E-T-E, which means suitable or adaptable for him. And so God has made a perfect help for John, and God knows that I need help. Praise God. You know, that song we were just singing, you know, great is his faithfulness. I also think about how great his mercy is. And I'm telling you tonight, if you've been struggling, if you've been going through something, I want you to know that God's mercy is so great toward you. One of my favorite scriptures in Lamentations says this. It says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is so merciful and so compassionate toward us. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon all those that fear him. One of Satan's greatest tools is to get us into condemnation and shame and get us to sit around feeling bad about ourselves and doing the old, I wish I would have, I could have, I should have, and all this kind of garbage. And none of that is going to help you move forward. The Bible tells us in Romans 15:13 that God is the God of all hope, and he'll fill you with hope. And through this hope, he'll fill you with all joy and all peace, and he'll cause you to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, I'm preaching already. We haven't even prayed yet. Hey, I just started using Instagram more. So I don't even know what my Instagram name is here. You can find me on Instagram tonight, and I'll tell you what it is in just a second. Go to Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, underscore John, J-O-H-N, underscore Ward, W-A-R-D, and you'll find me on Instagram. And then I think from there you can also find me on Facebook, which is what I use primarily, praise the Lord. And then, of course, our home website for our church is wordoffaithtoronto.com. That's Word of Faith, W-O-R-D, of Faith, Toronto.com. Love for you to come visit us there. We have lots of good information to help you. That's why we're here. We're here to help you. We're not here to get from you. We're here to help you, praise God. And what a privilege to do that. God is so amazing and so wonderful. So go ahead right now, get on WhatsApp, get on Facebook, get on Instagram, get on Twitter. Let your friends know, email, text them, let them know that we are live. You know, find one of our postcards. You can find it on our website, wordoffaithtoronto.com. Scroll down just a little bit and you'll see the Spirit of Faith radio broadcast. Tap on that, right click, and you can save that file, and then you can use that file to send it out. It's got all the information about our radio broadcast, and we're on every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. So glad that you're here. Love to hear from you tonight. If you're a first-time listener, email me. Let me say hello to you on the air. You can email me at instudio101@gmail.com. I was messaging with a very dear friend of mine earlier who's a Greek scholar, and I'm hoping he's going to be calling us tonight around 9:15, and I asked for a couple specific words that I want him to hit on in the Greek tonight. We'll probably get there anyway, but it's always good to hear from another perspective, and this is a great man of faith. So hopefully he'll be calling in tonight. He had another meeting, but he said he was going to do his best to try and call in, praise God. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into the word tonight. Get your Bible, get a pen and paper, and we're going to study the Word. I already got some things in my heart that's really stirring that I believe the Lord wants to share with us tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the most wonderful, gracious, merciful, kind Father. You are so awesome, and we love you tonight. Father, thank you for every listener that's listening from all around the world, from all different countries. Thank you, Lord. They're all different time zones. But Father, together we are hooked up by one Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. And we know there's no distance in the Spirit. And so, Father, whatever prayer request you want us to handle tonight, whatever word and instruction or correction that you want us to deal with tonight, we are open for the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. Lead us by your Spirit. Take us in the direction that you want us to go. And we covenant with you, Father, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers of the word. And we also covenant with you that we will give you and you alone all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in the holy, mighty, matchless name that's above every name, Jesus of Nazareth, and by his precious blood. And everybody in agreement shouted amen. Amen. Go to our text tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 would be amiss if we didn't read our foundation text. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, And we're going to be reading verse 13. Once again, if you have any Bible questions, if you have a praise report, if you have a prayer request, if you just want to say hello, if you're a first-time listener, if we can help you, email us in studio 101@gmail.com or call us toll-free 866-905-REAL. All the contact information is right at the bottom of your browser on realityradio101.com. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Notice that there is no faith without speaking. And every week we've been reminding ourselves what the elements of faith are. I've also mentioned this example once or twice, that any professional is not someone who is trying to come up with a new move or a new skill. All they're trying to do is master the game. So if you take football, for example, the football players are not trying to come up with some type of famous new move that no one's ever seen or done before. They're just trying to do what everybody else does, but do it better, more efficiently, more proficiently than anybody else. You become a professional by becoming good at the fundamentals. And it's no different in faith. You don't need to try to come up with some new revelation. That always gets me. And I know it's because I'm sensitive to it, because it's only pride when a preacher says, oh, I'm preaching something that no one else has preached before. Well, I got news for you, my friend. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. So you might have, it might be new to you, and it might be new to some of the people listening, but it ain't new, because there's nothing new under the sun. And there's certainly nothing new to God, because he knows everything. As a matter of fact, if it is potentially new, he knew about it before you even thought it. Think about that for a second. He is amazing. He is awesome. He is God. Praise the Lord. And so don't try to come up with something new. Become a professional. And so one of our great football coaches, Hall of Fame, they give a trophy out every year in his name. And of course, most of you know who I'm thinking
about. Vince Lombardi.
And Vince Lombardi, when he would get a new group of professionals, I said professionals, they would come and sit down in the locker room. He'd close the door and he'd go up to the podium and he'd pull out a football and he'd say, boys, this is a football. Well, listen, we need to do the same thing as believer. Get your Bible out and look at it and say, this is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I'm going to be taught the Word of God, and I will receive this Word by faith. We need to go back every single day and exercise the fundamentals of faith. And there are five elements to faith. Number one, faith comes by hearing. I think we're going to look at that here in just a few minutes. Faith comes by hearing. Number two, faith comes by receiving. You got to make a decision to receive the Word of God. Number three, it comes by believing. You got to choose to be convinced. The word believe is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. It's also, there's a conjugation, pisteo, and my Greek friend, he can help us with the pronunciation when he calls in. And it means this: to be fully persuaded, to be convinced, to be convicted. It goes beyond what we think in English as believing, and it means to know. Faith is knowing. Faith is being persuaded. Firm persuasion. And then number four, faith comes by speaking. And then number five, faith comes by acting. There is no faith without action. James 1 says that faith without works is dead, meaning faith without works is not faith at all. Praise the Lord. Let's take a look. Go over to Romans
chapter, let's start with Romans 10 tonight. And let me say hello to a few folks that have emailed us in. Again, you can call us toll free if you have a question. I have no problem if you don't agree with something that I believe differently. It's okay. Absolutely. Now, I may not agree with you, but what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Word of God. And that's how it should be for every single one of us. For every single one of us, if somebody tells you something and you don't know that it's true based on God's word, or maybe they tell you something but it's a little bit of a variant, and your spirit just says, something's not right with this, then you should be willing to challenge it. Now, I didn't say challenge him or challenge her. I said challenge it. You need to challenge every doctrine, every word that's presented to you. But at the same time, we need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that's on the inside of us. That's what the scripture says. I believe it's in, I'll just read it to you here in 1 second. An answer of the hope that's in you. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now that hope, of course, begins with salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. But remember, we looked at it last week. All the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen. So you ought to be ready to give an answer to more than just being saved. You ought to be able to give an answer to all the promises of God. And the only way you can do that is 1 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I always focus on that, rightly dividing. If there's a right way to divide the word, then there's a wrong way to divide the word. That's why the Bible says that it must be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Praise God. Now, again, you can email us in studio101@gmail.com. Let's say hello to some of our friends. Nan writes in, congratulations, Pastor, on your wedding vows. Amen. Bless you, your family, and your radio ministry. We are listening to you from London, England. Good day. Actually, say good night. It's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1:45 in the morning there in London. Man, thank God that you've tuned in and listening to us. We're so happy. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nan. Really glad you're tuned in tonight. Let's say hello to Patty. Patty says, amen. Congrats on your wedding anniversary. Love your show. Pray for the hurricane folks down in Florida. Let's release our faith right now and do that. It really looks like that hurricane, it's one of the most powerful ones that has hit the Atlantic area. It went through the Bahamas, and it's moving so slow, about 5 miles an hour. So they're saying that some of the people are going to experience sustained winds for 24 hours. So, you know, the Bible says and we're about to read it, in Romans 10, verse 9, that whosoever shall call, 10:10, right in there, we're going to look at it in a second. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's pray for these folks down there right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over every person in the path of this hurricane. We curse this hurricane right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for every person that's in its way, and we pray for your protection over each and every one right now. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. And those, Father, that are believing for a miracle, those that are trusting you, we join our faith with them right now, and when two of us agree on earth about anything is touching, we ask, it shall be done. So we ask, Father, that none of them would be harmed physically, and those, whatever they're believing for, protection for their goods, for their homes, for their property. Father, we release our faith right now for a hedge of protection over every one of them and all those things that they're believing for. We rebuke fear right now in the name of Jesus, for you've not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And you also said, Father, that we should count it all joy when we find ourselves in different tribulations, temptations, and that we should ask for wisdom. So we ask, Father, that you would give wisdom to all these people and what they need to do. Those that are in the south the United States and Florida and up the coast, going up on the East Coast. Father, we pray right now that you will give each of them wisdom on what to do and how to do it. We release our faith for it. We pray for your protection now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Thanks, Patty. That was important to do tonight. Alexis says, hello, Pastor. Thank you for making the close of my week very close of your week. Alexis, this is the beginning of your week. It's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. It's the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. Praise the Lord. And you're starting off your week the right way by putting God first and getting the word in your heart. So proud of you. Praise the Lord. She says, by hearing the word of God, bless you in your rich ministry to all of us out there in radio land. God is awesome. He's great. Thanks, Alexis. Really good to hear from you tonight. Phil says, hi, I'm a new listener here from Manitoba. Thanks for your teachings. Phil, thanks for being a part of our radio program. Praise God. Anne writes in, says, hi, Pastor. What passion for our Lord. We love your preaching. Are you on TV or do you have any plans to be on TV? That would be amazing. Thank you for your radio show. It truly lifts our belief in the word. You know, Ann, that really encourages me tonight. And I think I've shared this with Gary, that the Lord really shared with me that the radio broadcast would be a stepping stone to television. Right now, we are we live stream all of our services, and that's a good time to tell you all. If you'd like to watch any of our services, you can do so by going to wordoffaithtoronto.com, wordoffaithtoronto.com, and there's a button there regarding archives, and you can go back and listen to any of our services in their entirety, including music and everything, and receive the word of God there. You know, you won't see me today because technically I'm on vacation, but I was not about to miss this radio show because I love being with you all.
And thank you.
Even on vacation, man, I want to be with you. Praise the Lord. So I believe that the next step will be television. The Lord gave me a number. I don't know if the Lord gave it to me, but I got a number in my heart, and that is we're believing for 10,000 listeners. I like 20 better. We're believing, maybe the Lord's saying 20, and I'm saying 10. But right now, my faith is out there for 10,000 listeners every Sunday night. And we've gone up every single week. We've not had a down week. Every week we've gone up, not by leaps and bounds, but we've gone up. And I'm really happy with what God is doing through this radio broadcast. But it's not my idea. This was a God idea. And he's paying for it, and I'm showing up to work. And I love it. And I love being with you all, and I love feeding your faith and starving your doubts. Praise God. And that's why we're here. So you're going through something. Here's the other good news. We also put up all of the archives for the radio broadcast on our website. So you can go to wordoffaithtoronto.com. And when you scroll down and you'll see the graphic for the radio broadcast, click on there and you'll see all the archives. You can go back and listen to any of our radio broadcasts. Last Sunday was, I think I ate gunpowder for dinner because I was firing out bullets the whole time. So you can go ahead and back and listen to any of the archives that you've missed, and you'll be blessed. Praise God. I want to say hello to Scott. Scott writes in and says, hi, Pastor. Welcome back from your vacation. So very glad that you arrived back safe. Happy anniversary. Thank you, my brother. Really appreciate that. Again, if you're listening tonight for the first time, if you have a Bible question, if you have a prayer request, anything that we can do to help you, you can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Just let us know you tuned in. Jake has tuned in, says, hello from Knoxville, Tennessee. Let us not forget that hurricane that is building on the East Coast. Prayer for those people. Amen, Jake. We just prayed for them. And we're going to continue as the Lord leads us to release faith and continue to pray for those on the East Coast. So thank you so much. Carl, hello, Spirit of Faith. I am a new listener for to your radio broadcast. We live in Orillia, Ontario. There are six of us here just celebrating the long weekend holiday and listening to the word. Praise God. May God truly bless all of you for the work that you are doing. Five stars to the messenger. You. Praise God, Carl. So glad you tuned in. And we're going to get into some word here in just a hot second. Cody tuned in and says, praise God, count our blessings, not our failings. That's good. That's a good word for somebody right there. Let me say that again. Count your blessings, not your failings. Whoo, that'll preach right there. I'm telling you, that's one of the major reasons why people get depressed. They get depressed because they focus on what they would have done, could have done, and should have done. When the Bible says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Last week and the week before, we talked about count it all joy. Don't count it all failure. Don't sit there and think about what you would have done, could have done, should have done. Satan wants you to be full of shame, and God wants you to be full of victory. So put your eyes on him, because he will bring you to victory every time. Even if you got yourself into that failing, God will turn it into a blessing. That's a good word, Cody. He says, with God, anything is possible. Love the biblical lessons. Thanks. Cody, thanks for writing in. That really encouraged me. Samuel. Hello, Pastor John. My name is Samuel here in Toronto, listening for the first time and enjoying the broadcast. God bless you and your ministry. Man, so glad to hear from you, Samuel, and really glad you tuned in. If you'd like to say hello, or if you have a prayer request, or specifically a Bible question or a praise report, email us instudio101@gmail.com. You can also call us toll free, 866-905-REAL. All the contact information is at the bottom of your screen. So now let's go. I think I told you to go to Romans, and we're going to start in the 10th chapter. First of all, it's so critically important to understand where faith comes from. So notice here in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word, and if you don't have it underlined, and I really encourage you, grab your Bible right now, grab a notebook. The word here is the Greek word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. And rhema is best translated as the spoken word of God. If you remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, when he was being tempted in the wilderness by the devil, and the Bible actually says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted of the devil. Jesus was led in the perfect will of God by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Some people right now, I'm blowing circuits. You're like, God would lead me to be tempted by the devil? I'm just quoting what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Praise God. And of course, we know that Jesus overcame. And his first temptation was, you're hungry. And if you're hungry, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema, spoken word that proceeds from the mouth of God. From where? From the mouth of God. So when Jesus heard the word by the Spirit of God to speak the word, man shall not live, from Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, does that mean that Jesus heard an audible voice? I don't believe so. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where Jesus heard an audible voice. As a matter of fact, when the devil was talking to Jesus, And the devil said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Did Jesus hear an audible voice? I don't believe so. There's nothing in the Word of God that says he heard an audible voice. No, man. Jesus was tempted just like you and I are tempted. How? By thoughts. If you remember, Ephesians chapter 2 says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Air. He works on airwaves. He works on thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, reasonings is the Greek word there, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So how does Satan work? He works by thoughts. So he sends these thoughts to devil, to Jesus. The devil puts these thoughts in Jesus' head. Remember, just 40 days earlier, the heavens opened up, and the Father from heaven said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." 40 days later, Satan says, "If you be the Son of God." He comes to bring doubt and unbelief to see if you'll take the bait. And some people will even say, well, it wasn't a real temptation because Jesus could not have failed. Oh, absolutely, he could have failed. If he couldn't have failed, then he couldn't have won. It would have been a whole setup. No, man, it was an absolute real temptation, and Jesus could have fallen. But what did Jesus do? Jesus chose to believe God, and that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to believe God. And so that word came to his spirit, and the word was, "Man shall not live by bread alone." It was a word that came from Deuteronomy, and he spoke that word, and when we spoke that word, it shut the devil up. And then the devil came with another temptation, and Jesus said, "It is written," and it shut the devil up. And then he came with another temptation, and Jesus said, "It is written," and it shut the devil up. All we got to do in the midst of tests and temptations is speak the word. And you don't have to be concerned about what to say. All you need to know is that God is with you and that he will give you the word to speak in that hour. All we have to do is trust him. You know, a lot of people think that the devil is one of Satan's names, but the devil is not the name of Satan or Lucifer. Lucifer died when he became Satan, and we'll get into that another day. But Satan is not, his name is not the devil. Devil is his job description. The word devil is the Greek word diabolos. You probably heard that before. Diabolos comes from two Greek words, dia, D-I-A, and balos, B-A-L-L-O-S. Dia means to penetrate and to separate. And the word balos means to strike continually, to strike, to strike, to strike, to strike. So diabolos is not the name of the devil. Rather, it's his job description. What does he do? He begins to strike and strike and strike until he penetrates with unbelief, till he penetrates with doubt. And then once he's got you, once you begin to believe his lies, once you begin to doubt, once you begin to say, well, I don't really know if God is with me. Well, I don't really know if God's going to answer my prayer. Well, I don't really know if God's going to save my marriage. Well, I don't really know if God's going to heal my body. You start to believe his lies, and then he begins the process of separation. He comes to divide and conquer. So diabolos, devil, is not one of Satan's names. Rather, it's his job description. Let me say hello real quickly to a couple other folks that have written in tonight. If you'd like to write in tonight, we'd love to hear from you. You can write in at instudio101@gmail.com or call us toll-free 866-905-REAL. Let's say hello to Joyce. Joyce says, "Just wanted to say thank you." Man, thank you, Joyce. It's such a privilege that you've tuned in and that we're here together tonight. Praise God. Stan writes in, says, "Hola, Pastor. Thanks for the prayers from Florida, East Coast, U.S. folks. I have family in Orlando. I'm listening to you right now from Barcelona, Spain. You sound amazing. You must be dealing with a little jet lag, Stan." I definitely know how that is. Praise the Lord. So glad you've tuned in tonight. And we just release faith right now that your family in Florida is protected in the name of Jesus. Now, you're in Romans 10:17, and we understand how faith comes. We also talked about temptation and overcoming the enemy, and we need to remember that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. 1 John chapter 5 says, "This is the victory. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And of course, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now go back up to chapter 10 and look at verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." We talked about this last Sunday. The word is nigh thee. The word here is rhema. Rhema, spoken word. Rhema, R-H-E-M-A. The same word that Jesus slapped the devil up one side and down the next was with this rhema. rhema. Do you remember the full armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the devil in the evil day. And having it all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having the shield of faith, taking the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. The word there is not logos. It's not written word. It's rhema. Rhema is what causes us to have the victory. And when you have rhema, what does rhema produce? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the rhema. Rhema is the sword of the Spirit. Rhema is the word that causes faith to rise in your heart. And faith is the victory that causes us to overcome in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ty says hello tonight. Ty says, got a question. He says, "Did God make his son Jesus Christ human-like, quote, human-like, end quote, so the people on earth at that time would maybe believe his teachings because they could relate to his human presence? And if yes, what would God be? Would he look like us?" Excellent question. Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, well, I think it's in Romans, but it may also be in 1 Corinthians. I'll find it for you real quick. That Jesus is the second Adam. And so Jesus was made just like God's first son. Adam was not God's creation. Adam was God's son. He made him in his image and in his likeness. The same DNA of God was the DNA that was in Adam. And when Adam fell, Adam wasn't tempted like Eve was. And as a matter of fact, if you study it out, she wasn't even Eve until after the fall. Adam named her Eve. Her name was Adam. And the female part of Adam was tempted and ate the fruit and then handed it to her husband. And he made a cognitive decision to choose the woman over God. And so Jesus was made just like Adam. He was the second Adam. And it wasn't until in the River Jordan when John the Baptist baptized him that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and received power. You say, well, he was God his whole life. No. When Jesus was born, and don't run with what I just said now. Don't take one little clip there and broadcast it. Let me explain the whole thing here. Jesus was born of a virgin. And what happened is the Bible says that the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary, and she would conceive, and what she would conceive of would be of the Holy Ghost. Well, we understand that for a child to be conceived, it takes the egg from a woman and the sperm of a man. Mary had never had sex with a man, which means she never had the sperm of man. But did she get sperm? Absolutely. Whose seed did she get? She received the seed of the Father. And it was the seed of the Father by the Holy Ghost that came upon her. And what was born in her was born of God. And this is what we call theologically the hypostatic union. The hypostatic union is that Jesus was 100% man and Jesus was 100% God. But understand that Jesus did not operate on the earth as God. He even referenced himself as the Son of Man. And when Jesus was on the earth, the miracles that he did, the dead that he raised, the sick that he healed, the power he operated in was the power of the Holy Spirit. But not one miracle, listen now, you go back and study it, not one miracle took place until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan. When John the Baptist baptized him in water, he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the image of a dove. And it was at that moment that his ministry began. And if you remember, they had to go to a wedding It was either that day or the next day, and it was the wedding at Cana, and that's where Jesus performed his first miracle, and it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, in answering this question, we're going to come back to Romans, so hold your finger in Romans and go to Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. We're still answering Ty's question. Once again, as you're turning to Hebrews 1, everybody go there. Come on, let's take the time. Let's go there. Hebrews 1. Ty says, did God make his son, Jesus Christ, human-like so that people on earth at the time would maybe believe his teachings because they could relate to his human presence? And if yes, what would God be and what would he look like us? So let's read here in Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, God, who at sundry, which means various times and in divers manners, spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath, past tense, in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Wait, what? Huh? He says he's appointed him heir of all things by whom? By who? By Jesus. Also, he made the worlds. And I can show you several scriptures. One that I'm thinking of specifically in Colossians, another in Ephesians, that the Bible says that God made all things through Jesus. All things were made by him. All things were made for him, and all things were made through him. And you remember John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The word there is the word logos, which is the written word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things that were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God, which means he has always been in the beginning. In the end. And you need to remember that before there was a beginning, there was God. And Jesus is just as much God as the Father. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus and just as much God as the Father. They are three in one. Three individual persons. Three individuals in one Godhead. Which means that there is one way that they do things, there is one way that they respond, one way that they talk. They are one in everything they do, and yet they are three individual persons. Continuing to read verse 3, Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, the glory of the Father, and the express image of his person, God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, not the power of his word. The word, rhema, spoken, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith comes by the word, word here, 4487 in the Greek. Word, rhema, the rhema of his power, not the power of his rhema, the rhema of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, that's Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And right now, God the Father is on his throne, and at the right hand of God the Father is a born-again man. You say, what? Jesus was born again? The Bible says he was the first begotten from the dead. If he's the first, there is a second, there is a third. You say, wait, now how, if Jesus is God, how could Jesus ever die? You need to understand what death is. When the Bible talks about spiritual death, it's not talking about dying like your heart stops beating. Spiritual death is what happened to Adam when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that in the day that you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. The Hebrew says, in dying you shall die. Well, it took Adam's physical body 968 years to figure out how to die. Did Adam die on the day that he ate the fruit? Sure did. So why didn't his body die? His body was never made for death. His body was made to live forever. It took his body 968 years to figure out how to die. So what do you mean he died on the day he ate the fruit? Spiritual death means to be separated from God. See, when the devil told woman that she was naked, he was lying to her. She wasn't naked. She was covered in the glory of God, and so was Adam. They were clothed in the glory. But the moment they sinned was the moment they were separated from God, and that was the moment that they became naked, and then they became full of fear, and they went, they hid. That's what fearful people do. They hid, and then they went and found fig leaves to cover themselves up. Praise God. So to answer your question, Ty, Jesus is the express exact image of God. And let me tell you who else is. The Bible says that we were made in the image and the likeness of God. Ty, if you want to know what God looks like, go into your washroom. I don't know if you're in Canada or in the U.S. If you're in Canada, go to the washroom. If you're in the U.S., go to the bathroom. Look in the mirror, and when you look in the mirror, you're going to see someone who looks just like God. God made you in his image and in his likeness. I hope that helped answer your question. Let's go to another email here tonight. Justin, hi, love the show, love the preaching, love the word, love your passion, love God and Jesus Christ. Amen, Justin, and I love you too. Praise the Lord. Winnie, wow, Pastor, deep, very deep. Regarding the conception of Jesus, wow, my head is exploding. I really need to study my Bible. Thank you. Yes, you do. And let me give you scripture to prove it. 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, Winnie, one of the greatest compliments that I've gotten since we've been doing this show, and we've been doing this show now, I'll tell you how many weeks here in just a minute. I think this is our 18th. Tonight is our 18th broadcast. Isn't that awesome? 18th broadcast. And one of the greatest compliments that I've heard is that they said, Pastor, you make it so easy for us to understand the word. And one person said, you give it to us in bite-sized pieces. That's the whole idea. But take these bite-sized pieces and go make yourself some brownies. Go get the pieces together, put them together, and make yourself something you can understand. Take the word of God, all these different ingredients, and you'll begin to understand it. The Holy Spirit will begin to cause this word to become a reality in your life. What I'm teaching you tonight ain't religion. I don't believe in religion. As a matter of fact, I hate religion. I hate legalism. I love religious people, but I hate their religion because religion is dead, dry, boring. Man, it'll put you to sleep. Praise the Lord. But spirituality, the living God on the inside of you and the word of God that brings it alive, man, it's exciting. It's not boring. Hallelujah. And so the more you spend time in the word, the more you give Holy Spirit something to work with, this word will become alive inside of you. Thanks for writing, Winnie. We have another email tonight from our friend Mason. Pastor, your preaching is fantastic. You make learning about God's word fun and easy. Write a book, please. Praise the Lord. You pray for me, Mason. Man, I've had that in my heart for some time, and I know the right time is coming. Praise the Lord. Thank you for writing. Blaine, thank you for your explanation of biblical history. You make the teaching so easy to understand. I really enjoy it. I am sitting here with my Bible and notepad and taking notes. Slow down. Only kidding. Bless you. Thanks, Blaine. Praise the Lord. You know, it's really important, and I've said this many times, but I know already we've got several new listeners tonight. Never believe the words of a preacher. If he or she cannot show you in the Bible, you're under no obligation to receive it. Now, having said that, if you hear things that kind of don't sound right, or, man, I was taught something different, write it down, just like what Blaine did. Write it down and go get into the Bible. Get your concordance out. Get a Safari or Google or Chromebooks or whatever you use, and do a search and begin to pull up scriptures and begin to study it out and find out what the Word of God says about it. Because some things that you hear me say, you might think that I'm preaching heresy or I'm preaching something wrong. Listen, my friend, it's possible. It's possible. But everything I give you is scripture. I give you the Word of God. I make you turn into the Word of God. And the Bible, as a matter of fact, I know we're still holding our finger in Romans. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 very quickly. And most of you are taking notes tonight. I'm speaking by faith. I know some of you for sure are taking notes. Write this down. This is a very important verse. Very important verse that you have inside your ammunition belt. Go to 1 Peter. No, I think I want 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And really you should read all these verses, verses 16 to 21. But I'm just going to read one verse, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, that means no word of the Scripture, is of any private interpretation. If somebody tells you, well, I'm Baptist, so I believe this way. You're Pentecostal, so you believe this way. You're Presbyterian, you're Catholic. No, man. The Bible says that we are all to have the same faith. You say, well, where does it say that? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Hold your finger there in Romans. Go. You can leave Peter. Hold your finger still in Romans. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, says he gave some apostles, some, I'm still trying to get there, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till, which means until, we all come into the unity of the faith. What's the word unity mean? Oneness. That we all have one faith. Well, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We are to have one faith. As a matter of fact, if you back up, you're in Ephesians still, back up in Ephesians to chapter 2, and he says, where does it say? One faith, one baptism. Oh, it's here somewhere. No, I'm in the wrong chapter. It is in Ephesians 4, where we were just reading. Ephesians 4, look at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That means one baptism into the body of Christ. It's not talking about baptism in water or baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about baptism into the body of Christ. You say, well, how do you know that he's talking about baptism into the body of Christ? Well, you got to go over to 1 Corinthians. I'm turning there right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, and the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. There's one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. So we are not to have multiple opinions. When people try to tell you that well, this is just my opinion and that's okay, I'm not telling you to argue with them, but I'm telling you right now, don't accept it, because it is absolute false. It is not what the Word of God teaches. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Till we all come into the unity of the faith, till we all believe the same thing. I don't care. Don't try to say, well, Pastor Ward says this. Forget about Pastor Ward. Forget about T.D. Jakes. Forget about, what's his name in California, the Baptist preacher, MacArthur. Forget about John MacArthur. Forget about all these people, man. It ain't about people. It's about Jesus. And go to the Word of God. Don't quote all these apostles and prophets and all these people, man. Quote the word. Take the word of God and quote the word of God. Just make sure one thing, that you are rightly, 1 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. Make sure it's line upon line. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word, logos, be established. Rhema is when it comes alive in your spirit. That's what produces faith. Logos is the written word. In the beginning was the word. That's logos. That's Jesus. He is alive. He is the written word. Praise the Lord. And I was misquoting. I said 1 Timothy 2:15. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Let me say hello tonight to my good friend from Ottawa, Milt. Milt says, hi, Pastor Ward. So glad you're bringing this word this evening so that people understand what faith is and how it comes about. Letting people know who Jesus is and what he did for us just reminds us how much God loves us, man. Isn't that true? Thank you for your faithfulness to preach the word line upon line. Love you, sir. Love you too, man. So glad you wrote in tonight. Well, we're going to read one more email right this second. It's not too late. If you want to email us, you can still email us at instudio101@gmail.com. It looks like my good friend could not write in tonight, so call in tonight. So I'm going to try and get him to call in next week because I want him to talk to us about a couple specific words about how the devil will try to put pressure on us and try to get us to back up off of our faith. Remember, he tells us in 2 Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. You got to contend for the faith. And there's a couple strategies that the enemy uses to try to get us off of our faith. And I'm going to try and get him to come on next week and talk with us about it. Praise the Lord. Where did I tell you to turn? Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans 12. Let me say hello to Brita. Brita, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, my friend. Brita says, Pastor, you made me get reinterested in Christ and the Bible. Well, that's the Holy Ghost, Brita. I can't take any credit for that. All I am is a messenger that God is using. He might use somebody else to help you tomorrow, but I'm so honored that he's using me to help you. But to God be all the glory. Brita says, I stopped believing and studying. I started to listen to your radio ministry, and wham, I'm back. Thank you, Brita. Father, I just thank you for continuing to bless Brita. I ask you to strengthen her right now and every other listener that fits her description. Just let your power, let your anointing just fill them and flood them and break every yoke and remove every burden. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will show them how quickly Jesus is about to return, that Jesus is coming soon, and he's getting his bride ready so that when the midnight hour comes and the trumpet sounds, that we will not be those five foolish virgins, but we will be those five wise virgins who got our lamps filled with oil. Thank you for blessing Brita and all the rest of the listeners tonight in Jesus' name. Let me say hello to Chuck. Chuck says, Pastor, here in all caps, write that darn book. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You keep praying for me and I will be obedient in the name of Jesus. Now go to Romans 12. We're probably going to have to finish this up next week on this specific thing I wanted to show you. But many of you out there have heard that in order to get saved, God has to give you faith. Have you ever heard that before? That to get saved, God has to give you faith. That so not only does God save you, not only does God give you grace. Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. So people will say, well, God gives you grace to get saved, but he also gives you the faith to get the grace to be saved. That's absolutely false. God does not give you faith. Romans 10:17, we just read it a few minutes ago. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you read the word of God, faith came. And who causes that rhema, that faith, to come alive in your spirit? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But it is absolutely unscriptural to pray for God to give you faith, because it's a prayer that will not be answered. Faith is not something you can pray for. Faith is something that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here is a very misquoted, misunderstood scripture. Look in, I hope you're there at Romans 12. I'd love to read all of this right now, but I can't. And this is another reason why you have to take every scripture in context. You can't take one verse and make it what you want it to sound like. And to be honest with you, it's being very dishonest if you do that. It's being very dishonest. If you take the scripture and you try to make it to fit what you're trying to explain. Very dishonest. You need to go back and read the verses before it and read the verses after it. And if it's quoting from the Old Testament, go to the Old Testament. Get yourself a good study Bible. In the Bible I'm looking at right now, in the margin of my Bible, it has every verse of the scripture, and then it has multiple scriptures after it so I can cross-reference it. Now notice here in Romans 12 and in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me," Paul says, the grace to be an apostle that was given to me, I'm speaking to every man that is among you, not to be arrogant, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure, metron, the measure of faith. And so what they will say is, well, God gave everybody faith to get saved. That's not what he's talking about. Keep reading. "For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office." Oh, not the same office. The word office here is the Greek word praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S in the Greek. And it means not the same practice, not the same position, not the same function. Every one of us are called to serve in the body of Christ. Oh, I'm talking to you, the one who used to work in the bookstore, but you don't work there anymore. The one that used to help on the TV camera, but you stopped doing it. The one who used to be an usher, but you stopped doing it. God's given you grace to serve in the church, to serve the body of Christ. He's given you faith to receive grace to work, to help in the body of Christ. And we'll get to more of that, Lord willing, next week. But it has been such a privilege to be with you tonight. So glad that you've tuned in. I'm praying for you to have a wonderful week this week. Keep those folks lifted up in Texas from that shooting that happened yesterday. And keep the folks lifted up in Florida that are dealing with this hurricane. We curse that hurricane in the name of Jesus. And we pray for great testimonies that are going to come out as a result of this. And it looks like that thing might miss the entire North America, might just go back out into the ocean. And that's what we're believing God for. Until next week, you can tune into our website, wordoffaithtoronto.com. You can get lots of more information. Know that I love you. We're praying for you. Jesus loves you. And don't forget that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, and Jesus is Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.